Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, a crisp Thursday morning, but sunny Thursday morning here in the Marion area. Thursday, March the 28th, 2024, 16 minutes past the hour. Good to be with you. Had a great program yesterday. Hopefully we can have a great program here this morning. Phone lines are open as they always are. We had a call coming in there, and for some reason, I don't know what happened, but if that was you, give us a call back, 740-751-4038. Do want to give our... McDonald's is big into passing out these brochures in the morning. March the 30th, which I guess will be Saturday, purchase a spicy McChicken McNuggets combo meal and receive a free dessert on your next visit. And that's the McDonald's on Marion Mount Gilead Road. Get rewarded. Use the app today. So that's the word from McDonald's today. March the 30th, purchase a spicy McChicken. Well, I guess it's not a McChicken. It doesn't say McChicken. Purchase a spicy chicken McNuggets combo meal and receive a free dessert on your next visit. And in the ad here, it's a it looks like a hot fudge sundae with these chicken nuggets. So there you go. Saturday, get your free dessert. Let's see here. Oh, we are. I think we're streaming this morning. Okay. I think I realized who our call now was. Okay. I hope we're up and streaming this morning. I hope somebody's listening to the program. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. We had a bit of phone technical difficulties here this morning, but we're up and running now. Go ahead, caller.
But are you streaming?
We are. I hear. Let me double check it to make sure. But we haven't had any calls this morning yet, and usually when that happens, we get calls. So let me double check.
Yeah, it's showing streaming is off. I just called in to hear myself talk.
No, we're on. We're on. Huh, I just checked. Do you usually do the website or the tune-in?
The website.
Yep, the website's on. That's where I just went.
Yeah, it says listen online, and I click it, and it gives me an error message. Stream is off.
Yep, hold on. Let me double check again. I'm on the website, and here I'm going to hit it. And, nope, there we are. I can hear you.
Let me refresh it and see what it does.
Technology, okay. You know?
Still comes up. Stream is off.
Hmm.
Well, at least we're not on the moon waiting for Houston to figure out a solution to get back home.
Yeah, that's right. So we talked as we went up to the end of the program yesterday, but an interesting conversation. What's new?
Well, nothing much other than, you know, to kind of carry on with the whole quagmire. I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate. I think I squeezed in at the last moment that both parties, which do a wonderful job in polarizing our society, if any party would train, educate their candidates before they even become a candidate, so that they know the mechanics and are able to walk in, get into whatever elected position they're going after, and know how to be more efficient, more effective. It's unfortunate the city council as it is now, president of city council, is fumbling around in the dark. She doesn't have a clue how to run council, Robert's Rules of Order, etc. Some of the council people don't know as well. So you know, that's one issue that I would say, you know, if we get a city charter, maybe we can, you know, rectify that situation and make sure that the public gets a candidate that has education of, okay, this is how you get legislation passed. This is how Robert's Rules of Order work. So that we're all firing on all pistons and moving forward. And to have continual education, too, just like doctors, lawyers, and other professions have mandated to keep your license, continuing education.
You know, I thought about this yesterday after, because we had a couple calls yesterday morning in regard to this, and the one thing I thought about was the conversation we had about the auditor. And and I really didn't, because I really don't know her that well. I've had her in a few times, but, you know, she's always very nice. And that's what everybody says who meets her personally. She's very nice, and she is. But does she know how to do the job? Now, the interesting thing about this to me is what I suggested yesterday is what I thought about. And I really think, and again, I understand you want an auditor who knows what they're doing. I understand you want an auditor who can answer questions at the drop of a hat. I get all that. But Miranda's been in there, I think, pretty close to 2 years now, or maybe better than 2 years. And that's just not happening to council's liking. And the city continues to get fined and penalized. She's an elected official. Nobody ran against her. So this is what it is until something major might happen. And she is under investigation by Ray Grogan's office, and we should know the answer to whatever that's going to be for misappropriation of funds in within 30 days is what Ray Grogan told me. But beyond that, if they want to clean this up, and again, I understand they don't want to spend any more money, but if they really feel like they're hemorrhaging money and they really feel like she doesn't know what's going on, and there is somebody who can clean this up, get them. Because this whole idea that, that Mayor Collins had about creating this position with the budget, this budgeting person, it's there now. She's supposed to be working in conjunction with the auditor, and I think she is. We did talk to Miranda about that the other day, but problems aren't being solved immediately. Veritas has been in on this for at least 2 years, I think. They're not solving problems immediately or in a short order. So I don't know what makes council think that Miranda can solve them in short order.
Well, you know, the first place, she was chosen to fulfill Landon's unexpired term, right?
Right.
So you could say, I think it'd be fair to say, she was a victim of circumstance, kind of. But then she knew what she was getting into, and she ran for office. So, you know, if she doesn't like what's going on, well, she put herself into that.
Well, but
you would think, and this is the one thing that bothers me most with Marion, people from Marion are never good enough to do the job. We have to hire outside consultants, etc. Right out here on 95, you've got Marion Technical College, and you've got The Ohio State University. Now, I'm sure that someone out there in business, in accounting, would be able to get this all figured out in much shorter order than these organizations that they're paying these obscene amounts of money to and haven't really. I mean, they keep saying we're on the cusp of getting this and the rest should follow quickly. So I don't know.
Well, and I want to be fair here in that I understand why council's frustrated. I'm not saying I don't understand that at all. I understand why they're frustrated with Miranda. I think they get numbers that aren't right sometimes. I think sometimes their requests for information go unfulfilled. I think they feel that information has been kept from them at certain points. So I understand their frustration. I'm not saying...
Well, you know, information that's being kept, especially from an elected official, that'll get you into a heap of big trouble.
Well, and there's a lot of... And you know, I don't know the intricacies of that. I know many requests have been made of her office, public information requests from council members. I think they've went, you know, like the other night, you were there for the meeting. And early on in the meeting, Ayers said something about, I sent a public information request in and she didn't fill it till today. Well, okay, so is it wrong for her to wait to fill it till council day, or...
Absolutely, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
The Ohio Revised Code has, under the Sunshine Laws, that they, or any entity, and I'm, yeah, at best, I've got to, I think, conceptually understand it, they are supposed to have readily available to give, to... fulfill a request from someone, particularly, and it helps if the requestor asks for a specific item during a specific period of time. It should be readily available. If they are vague in their request, that's going to hold a lot of things up.
Well, here's so what I will...
Every public office should have readily available information. If you go in and say, I would like a copy of this on such and such a date, or a copy of that, etc., if you're specific about it, it should be done quite readily, and there should not be any hem-hawing around and waiting for
well,
it.
Just 2 points on that, because about 30 minutes later in that same meeting, Ayers was making a point about the auditor not fulfilling information again, and this time she said, I've sent you that, and he said, no, you haven't, and the clerk spoke up and said, no, she did, and I also copied everybody on it, and he said, well, I must have just missed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean...
Well, I've sent email to every city council person that's got an email address, and my email program showed nobody opened up that email. And I called about that, and there was something strange. It's like the county commissioners. They have email addresses on the county commissioner's website, but your email doesn't go to them. And I was told that those email addresses for the county commissioners are for county employees to talk amongst themselves, like an intranet. And I thought, why even have those email addresses there on their website if they don't go directly to the county, a particular county commissioner, or all county commissioners?
Well, that it's an interesting point, but just to put a cap in this thing with Miranda, I made a public information request of Miranda on Monday afternoon, probably maybe in the afternoon, and she had fulfilled that before the council meeting. So my public information requests of her seem to be filled rather quickly, and also... I made a public information request of, let me just say, because I don't want to trash anybody here, because I don't know what's going on, but somebody other than the auditor, I made it this at the same time of day on Monday. Now, that person responded to me and said they were going to get it together, but here's Thursday, and I still don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not the only one.
Why don't you just... say what department? I mean, you know.
Well, it would be somebody on the administrative end, but I don't want people to think I'm talking about the mayor, because I'm not.
Well, you know, the mayor put together his administration. So, like Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. If you put a bunch of incompetent individuals in there, that reflects on the person who put those people there. You know, and hey, they're, as Erz Ratliff said, council or so before, you know, you, to the administration, you work for us. We don't work for you, you know.
Well, that's turning into an ugly situation.
Well, there's another thing, too, and this is permeates through business as well as public office and that. Communication. People don't know how to communicate. Period.
Well, I would agree with that. And I want to come back to the initial point that you made about people running for office not knowing what they're doing. Now, the Democrats, as near as I can tell, although I just was reading this morning in the Marion Star that there's an editorial in there endorsing Kathy Masters for commissioner, and I know she's a Democrat, but I cannot find any paperwork where she's filed as an independent or a Democrat to run for commissioner, so I had to send a thing down to the Board of Elections this morning to try to figure that out. I don't know if she's running as a write-in. I've never seen any paperwork to that degree, but there's a letter there endorsing her. And also,
that's in today's Marion paper.
I'm pretty sure I read that this morning. Let me double check on this.
I looked. I didn't see much of anything on the electronic edition.
That's what I looked at this morning. Let me make sure that's where I see. Maybe it was. Maybe usually, I just saw it, but it was dated.
Well, usually letters are always on a Sunday.
Maybe it was from this past Sunday. Then let me see here.
Now, that's the problem. You read so much stuff and you don't really remember where on earth you saw it or read it.
Yeah, because I know I saw it because it said Kathy. It was in the editorial part of it, so it could have been from Sunday. But but as I look for this, the also Mayor Schertzer did his first interview last week since being out of office, and he talked about the Democratic Party not being ready. That the local party, I believe he said, didn't even have a quorum the last time they met to have the meeting. So how can they have candidates ready for anything?
Well, you know, the past general election, poor Glenn Coble, Glenn Coble, here he is running. No backing from the Democratic Party. I mean, little to none. And it was, I just couldn't believe it. And realistically, you know, both parties, I think both parties have worn out their welcome. They've always polarized society. It's us, it's them, etc. And that just gets right down into city council because everybody, a tug of war. They don't look at the big picture and figure out that, hey, look, we're on the team. We're all team players. We're all working to better the community and make sure that the taxpayers get a damn good return on their tax dollar investments.
Well, you know, I think part of that is, now I would not say that the Republican Party does not have things together as far as people running, because they now have every seat, I believe, in the city and county, except for the county auditor and one seat on city council. And I think the law director. I think that's it. I think the Democratic Party, and in this fall's election, I mean, we have the sheriff up for re-election. We have the prosecutor up for re-election. We have two county commissioners up for re-election. We have the treasurer seat open because of a retirement. And yes, we do have a Democrat running for treasurer, but no Democrat running for judge, either of the judge positions that are open, judicial positions. We have no Democrat running for prosecutor. We have no Democrat running for sheriff. We have no Democrats, to my knowledge, unless Kathy Masters is running for something, for commissioner. We have more independents on the fall ballot than Democrats. Judge Edwards is an independent, And Jen Ryan, who's running against Ray Grogan, is an independent. So we've got one Democrat running for treasurer and two independents running for, one for judge and one for prosecutor. So that tells you the state.
Well, and here's where the Board of Elections should institute. I don't know how you do that. You probably have to go down to the state legislature. Make sure, just like you get a little booklet for a test, for driver's license, all that stuff, do the same for people who want to run for office. Have that little guidebook there. Pass the test. You get, and I think it should be a higher bar. You have to have at least 80%, 85% to be approved by the Board of Elections that you know what you are doing, that you understand those fundamentals, and you're not fumbling around, and you can conduct business the first time that you're there to conduct business. We've got to do something to change this stuff, because, you know, you're just turning more and more people off to public office, and I don't think that the money is necessarily the thing, because the bigger piece of cheese you throw out there, the more rats you're going to attract. Householder, Randazzo, etc.
Well, the thing that fascinates me about the whole thing is that, number one, the Democratic Party in Marion, let's just start there, probably the most well-known Democrat statewide is Mary Ellen Withrow. She lives in Marion. She's still here, and she's still active. You have a former 16-year mayor, Mayor Schertzer, still lives in the city. If he was asked to do something, I think he would do it. You have a 16-year incumbent sheriff who's only been out of office 4 years, and Tim Bailey. He's still in the area. There's a Democrat. You have Joanne Kasotis, who is still one of the few in office, auditor, for I believe more than 16 years at this point. You have Ayers Ratliff, who's the lone city council person left. You have Tom Panett, who was a treasurer for the city for I don't know how long, and a member of the Parks Board last time I checked. I don't know if that has gone away yet, but as of last year, he was still a member of the Parks Board. You have long-term, you have Glenn Coble, who ran for many offices here. You have Tara Dyer, who's run for many offices here, who gets out there. If you just took that group, you could have a semblance of something to go on. And the person
who's... The issue is it's like the same thing in industry, manufacturing now. Everybody needing people to fill the void in these trades, because the people you mentioned are the tail end of the baby boomers.
We don't have
that much interest. The demographic of those people, they are not cultivating people to fill those positions, because for whatever reason, Chapter 1117, Vietnam Veterans of America, with doing the banner campaign, extremely difficult. Randy Drasbo was able to pull it off just by sheer intestinal fortitude, getting people. We've seen the Eagles disappeared, some of the other fraternal organizations. The new generation of people are, you know, there's a major gap between the tail end of the baby boomers and the other, whatever they call them, etc., those groups. And it's difficult to get people interested to be part of that. And I think some of the stigma is because of the tug of war. But it seems encouraging that there are some people that are running as independents.
Well, here's the odd thing about this whole bit is that last fall, 2023, there were a lot of young Democrats who ran for city council. Dana Booker,
was one of them. Oh, and I'm trying to remember his name. Corey, but he was out there quite a bit in a suit. Young guy, under 40, I believe. And if he was 40, he's just over 40. You know, you had, and you did have people running for office as Democrats. And I believe Kathy Swanger is a Democrat, and I believe she did make it on the school board.
But it takes more than those individuals. They need to get together collectively and recruit to get people, more people involved than themselves.
That's my, but see, what I could not figure out is, and this is where the disconnect is, I'm not saying Mary Ellen or Mayor Schertzer or Tim Bailey have to run for office. But I would think when that group that I'm speaking of that did run last year as Democrats runs, I don't think they contact those people who have political experience, who would be good to campaign with to get their name recognition up. I don't think they calls.
They'd make great mentors. They could be the cheerleaders to rally around, and they can say, hey, here's the process. Here's some of the things I've learned over those number of years being in office, holding an office, and, you know, the campaigns, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, just a multitude of things that can be done, but it takes time. It takes commitment.
Well, I guess, and one other point I want to touch on here, aside from this, is wanted to talk about, because, you know, I don't, a lot of the movers and shakers of Marion were sitting behind me at Monday's city council meeting. Now, I've seen Lois Fisher there quite a bit, attending those meetings.
Were you sitting behind me then? I didn't see you there.
I think you were behind them, and they were behind me. Because Lois was sitting right behind me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had...
two pews.
I was in one of the pews. I was on those hard benches. But.
Oh, my God, yeah.
3.5 hours. Those benches get hard. But it was Lois Fisher. It was Lowell Thurston. It was Ted Graham. It was Howie Long. You know, some movers and... Howie Smith from Wilson Bohannon. But there were four movers and shakers there. And
someone else, too. Some of those people are current board members of CanDo.
Well, that was my question. Why were they there? I mean, Lois attends a lot, so that didn't shock me. But the other three I had not seen at a city council meeting in a long time, and they left early, and I can understand in a 3.5 hour meeting. But does anybody know why they were there?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, Lois Fisher used to be on CanDo's board. Ted Graham resigned from CanDo's board, officially resigned, as Lois Fisher did, I believe. Lowell Thurston just stopped going instead of resigning. And currently, my understanding is Howard Smith is still a member, an active member on the board. And then there was another gentleman there with him that I wasn't familiar with, I think is an active member. I could be wrong on that. But they were there, and I guess what I said, they didn't want to say anything more. Way back at one of the committee meetings when the issue of the funding came up, Gus Comstock was not there, and they postponed it until the next committee meeting before sending it to council. And I stood up and I spoke my piece, and I was surprised that Lois was there. She came up, she pointed to me, said, him too, that too. And then expressed herself. So there are people not happy.
So this group, essentially, just to be clear, this group of movers and shakers in Marion is not in support of CANDU at this point?
I think it would be more fair to say they're not in support of Gus Comstock.
That's interesting, because it would have been interesting to hear from them, because I believe that just because I think most people on council are aware of who they are and the way that they hold because of their businesses, and that they've been on the CANDU board, on the inside. Now, if they got up and said that about Gus Comstock, you know, it always more than one helps. I think that would have been very interesting.
Well, you know, we have a third reading that's going to be coming up, and who knows? They may very well voice their opinion.
And that'd be fascinating, because I think if that was, I've heard Lois speak in the meeting, certainly about the auditor and other things like that. But, I mean, if you get Ted Graham up there or Lowell Thurston or Howie Smith, I would think, saying similar things to what you said, I would think that city council's going to say, wait a second. Because I also know that those people are asked about donating to campaigns. Those people are asked about supporting things within the city. So I think... I don't know what Gus Comstock would say to that. I think that would be much harder.
Well, you know, I made statements about Comstock. Comstock didn't retort anything. All he would do is stand up there and say, well, we've got to get our stuff together. We got these people coming from Jobs, Ohio, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that's what we got to get ready for. It wouldn't address anything, any of the issues.
The problem there, I think, was that council really had no questions for him, except Ayers, who basically, I think it was Ayers, who said, if somebody wanted to come sit in office, what time would that be? Because I think he was trying to still make the point that Bodine really has no set hours. I think that's the point I don't think he was trying to go after Comstock. It didn't seem that way. It seemed like he was trying to say...
Well, he asked financial questions of Comstock.
That's true.
I think the big question that needs to be answered is, well, Mr. Comstock, the monies that you're asking council to give, where is that going? Where is it going? Is that money going to be paying Bodine? You know? And there's still.
But nobody asks. I mean,
Inspector, well, again, that goes to the fact we've got good intentioned people that don't know what to do.
Well, but isn't the problem here? I mean, honestly, and this is just what I'm as a viewer. And also Matt, who's our intern here at the station, 20 years old, who's very interested in politics. He was there with me. And he asked something similar to this, is that it may be wrong for Gus to do what he's doing if he is doing those things, but for him to come to city council and ask for money, people do that a lot. City council has the ability to ask questions and deny that request. You had 8 members of city council who probably would have voted yes even after all that. Well, I know they would have voted yes, because this thing about paying Bodine and twice has been brought up since January, before he was ever hired by the city. And there are
I believe it was way back in November.
And eight members of council went ahead and they have no problem with that.
Well, that was then. This council, I do believe, does have a problem with that.
I would ask for the vote.
You know, for $90,000+, I believe it is, he's making a year as service director. Don't you think the taxpayers deserve to have somebody that's working for them 24/7, 365?
Well,
isn't $90,000 a substantial amount of money? Why do you need to work other jobs?
Well, that's the question, though, because this council took office January 1st, and here we are. The next council meeting will be in April, and I know it's been brought up at least three times this year, possibly more, and yet I've never heard anybody ask him except Ayers to resign his position. I've never heard with Canu. I've never heard the mayor ask him to do that, and certainly the mayor is well aware of it.
Well, the mayor's obviously not going to ask him to do that because my understanding is Bodine, the quote, I'm using air quotes here, branding for the mayor. And my understanding is that just because Bodine worked for Floyd Brown, that's why he wanted him in there to be the service director, but he was trying to get him in a special project. Gee, that's a very, very broad statement or position. Special projects, what does that mean? A sewer inspection with a special camera or something? Who knows?
But, you know, the way this all trickled down, because that special projects position went by the wayside and the mayor just hired him as the service director, why is nobody asking questions of the mayor about this?
Because, bear in mind, is not the mayor in the Republican Party, the majority of council in the Republican Party.
Right.
Nobody has the intestinal fortitude to say, hey, Emperor, you ain't wearing any clothes.
Well, and I think that my point here is that if somebody, because clearly the lone Democrat has a problem with it. He's made it away. He's said it. He's spoken about it. He's gotten into arguments with it, people about it. That ain't going to get it done for the reasons you just said. So when does somebody, a citizen, stand at a meeting and address the mayor about it? Because apparently the Democrat isn't getting it done. And when does somebody call on those nine other members? And I'm not sure that Jason Schauber is okay with it, so I don't want to lump him in there. But when do those eight other city council members get called on the idea of why aren't you doing anything about this?
Well, that's a good question for one of them. I mean, I'm doing my part to try to get to the bottom of this and remove the specter of impropriety. And I think that's the major thing. You know, Tarina Rose put on, I think it was LinkedIn, transparency. We need to see what everybody's doing. And it would be interesting, once all this quagmire is done, that the city get a website, get some to show how much the city brings in, where that money's going, and how it ticks. Every day that money is spent that has been budgeted, so we can all see at any point in time on our computers, hey, holy cow, they did what with how much?
Well, you know what?
We bring in how much for the budget? Holy cow, you know?
Well, what I'm still confused about, coming back to this branding issue, is that apparently the mayor's office, for one, you know, this whole car wrapping idea and wallpapering of certain offices with this branding of Marion. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm confused on this whole thing because it's my understanding when this is all said and done, we're going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $25,000 doing all these projects.
Or more.
So, but and apparently it was, if I'm wrong, tell me, it's Bodine's company doing it. Is that right?
I am not sure about that. My understanding is, well, here's the specter of impropriety again. Bodine drives around in his big pickup truck. He's got his company logo on the side. He used to work, from what I've heard, and this is all hearsay, I don't know factually, but there are always grains of truth in any rumor. that he worked for the car wrap factory as a rep, or sold, etc., or possibly did draft work. I don't know. But, again, that specter of impropriety is there.
Well, and, so, and let me check my public...
The big question, I think, is branding. Marion needs to be rebranded? Why? Who are we selling Marion to? That's what branding's all about. Marketing. Why did the city administration, all the services we have, why do we have to, quote, rebrand them? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, let me
look. Shouldn't the service director be looking into things that are germane to the service director and forget about what he's done in the past? And I think it lends itself to the fact Bodine is not qualified to be in that position he's in.
Well, here we go.
As far as I know, he has no certifications. He has no college education. He has no associate's degree in public administration. So he's in a very precarious situation.
Well, here's what I know. I have the invoice through a public of information request, and the invoice has been paid $1,300 and some change. Founders Park sign, which that's a whole nother thing, $1,134. Founders Park sign breakdown and install, $75. These are things that have been paid, I believe, by the city. They've been paid by the city.
So who's the payee?
Well, the invoice, and that's what I'm looking for here. This was ordered by the city of Marion. Attention, Michael Bodine. My contact info is Michael Bodine. Now it said it was paid to the Car Wrap, 1899 Marion Waldo Road, and they list an 800 number. So I don't know who owns the Car Wrap factory.
I've got his business card here. Somewhere.
So that would be whoever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, is that does somebody have a stake in that company? Because I have heard that there's a conflict of interest here. I'm just not sure who it's with.
Car Wrap Factory, the card that I have, and I assume it's the same individual that owns it, because they live in the front, and his facilities are behind, is Chris Adams. Chris Adams.
Well, I do know, like I say, I've gotten word from people at City Hall that the Car Wrap Factory and the wallpapering that went on, that there is a known conflict there.
Well, there is a conflict. I mean, Bodine was doing work in the past for the Car Wrap Factory, and he apparently had done some things in the past, or can do, and now he's service director. He's a public officer. Now he's got a contract.
Wait, hold on. We got to go to break here. Come back after the break and we'll finish this conversation because this is interesting. We'll be back in. Okay.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk from Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't. Can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same.